Britain. Canary Wharf. More homes, more fun, less work. Working from home is reshaping a London business district.
Canary Wharf is reinventing itself. When it was London's new financial hub in the 1990s, bankers and lawyers filled its glass towers. Now that Londoners are not commuting 5 days a week, the district is broadening its appeal to accommodate those seeking somewhere to live or let loose. Will it succeed? An effort to diversify has been in the works for years, but the exodus of workers during the pandemic and the departure of corporate tenants such as HSBC, a big bank, and Clifford Chance, a law firm, have sharpened it. Across the capital, 9.5% of office space is empty, above the 5- and 10-year averages, cramping valuations. Rising interest rates have pushed up borrowing costs, just when landlords face extra bills to make buildings greener. Canary Wharf's investors are unruffled. The district has known hard times before. It crashed into bankruptcy in the 1990s. In 2008, the fall of the Lehman Brothers, an American investment bank, cleared over 76,000 square metres overnight. The estate's joint owners, Brookfield, an asset management firm, and the Qatar Investment Authority, the Emirates Sovereign Wealth Fund, injected £400 million, that's $485 million, last year. Housing plays a big part in Canary Wharf's reinvention. Nearly all new building is earmarked for homes for rent. The plans mirror Brookfield's playbook elsewhere, notably Manhattan West and Hudson Yards in New York, where offices, hotels, shops and housing sit side by side. Today, more than 3,500 people live in Canary Wharf. The first residents moved in only in January 2020. To shed its image as a sterile office district, Canary Wharf has rolled out activities including go-karting and a paddle club. In the summer, it hosts outdoor sports screenings and concerts and a beach volleyball tournament for firms on the estate. The water surrounding the former docks, mostly unused until recently, now affords swimming, boat rentals and 5 kilometres of boardwalks. Where there was once a largely vacant car park, there is now an indoor playground with a roller rink, ball pits and bumper cars. The drive to diversify is paying off. Around 6.3 million people visited the estate in January, up by 8.2% year on year. At the end of 2022, midweek trips returned to pre-pandemic levels. Visits between 4pm and 10pm were 50% higher. Fears that retailers and hospitality businesses would leave as offices emptied have not materialised. There are now 70 bars, cafes and restaurants, up from 40 or so before the pandemic. The Waitrose supermarket in Canary Wharf has long been the upmarket chain's best performer by revenue. Offices are still at the core of Canary Wharf, but their importance has shrunk, from 95% of the portfolio's value 20 years ago to 74% by 2022. Of that, big banks make up just over half, down from 70% in 2004. Plans are in hand for a swanky life sciences campus. Canary Wharf is also attracting creative types. Last year it welcomed The Cube, which provides studios and production space for music producers, podcasters, and social media influencers. The result is a mix that should be more resilient to fluctuations in demand for any single class of property. But the office workers still toiling in the sleek towers above the dog walkers, pram pushers, and joggers lining the riverside paths have not been forgotten. Citigroup is spending over £100 million to refurbish its 42-storey skyscraper. Barclays has revamped its 32-storey tower, adding a trading floor with a cafe selling mocktails and Coq au Vin. A co-working floor is filled with bean bags, board games and mirrors with supposedly motivational prompts. You've got this. And the view over East London's old Docklands is bright.